broadcast on WRIR-LP 97.3 and worldwide at WRIR.org. We're exploring our food system, which includes everything from farm to table. It extends from a seed in a farmer's hand to a bill in the hands of those making policy on the local, national, and worldwide front. We focus on the factors that each guest brings to growing and sustaining our food system. While we're talking local, the ideas are pertinent to any food system. I am Sunny Gardner, and Adrienne Young Ramsey is here in the live room at Richmond Independent Radio. Adrienne is a Renaissance woman, a farmer, mother, dancer, singer, songwriter, guitarist, and, well, while I'm in the introduction mode, I have the pleasure of saying that her first album, Plow to the End of the Row, received a Grammy nomination. And better still, there was a packet of seeds in it. Adrienne is president of a foundation that funds the Backyard Revolution. She also co-hosts a morning program on a community radio station, and she understands the rigors we endure to make good radio. So she made time to drive here with her son and husband during inclement weather to talk with us. Thank you for that, Adrienne. We could have Skyped.
Well, there's nothing can replace face-to-face and being able to tap into one another's energy, and I sure do appreciate you, all that you're doing here to inform the public, and I appreciate you letting us be a guest.
Well, thank you so much for coming. Now, here's an easy question. What kind of seeds were in that Grammy-nominated album, and why that particular variety?
Well, if I could redo it, it wouldn't be the same choice because they were wildflower seeds, which I think that aesthetics are very important. But these days, my concern is definitely centered more around providing sustenance. So they would probably be of a heritage variety, certainly not genetically modified.
Right.
But the funny thing is that those wildflower seeds, of course, are regionally specific. And so I'm sure that I have sent some seeds to Alaska that shouldn't have been there, but live and learn.
Yeah, well, in the seed mixes you can get here, they'll have things like California poppies, so who knows? But you do have such a diverse story, and since the show is ostensibly about the food system and you're a farmer, kind of set the stage for us. What is your farm like? What do you do on your farm?
Well, our home is in Nelson County. We have just a little over 40 acres, and we are very fortunate to have sheep, goat, chickens, and of course, our lovely dog, and our family tries to, between gardening and working with those animals, provide as much food as we can for ourselves. I grew up on the land that was farmed by my great-great-grandfather. In fact, in the house that my grandfather built, however, my parents never put a seed in the ground that I was aware of. It was a very odd thing to walk daily on the soil that had been so lovingly tended by my ancestors and yet virtually ignored by my parents. And so I really felt that that lack of connection with the earth as I was a young person. And as soon as I was old enough to leave the house, which was about 16 or 17, I went and worked on an organic farm. And it really changed my life. It really awakened me to the fact that it does matter the type of food that you put into your body. It not only matters to you physically, but it matters to the earth, how that food was grown. It matters to all of our future generations, what type of seed you've planted. And of course, the energy that all of that brings to one's life. And so food became a primary focus for me. And just realizing how much of course, back then, you know, some years ago, when local wasn't even a word on the radar, and realizing that organic local food could completely change a person's life, and especially a lot of the challenges that we were dealing with as a nation, homogenizing our culture, and of course, what we feed our children, the additives, the chemicals, it's overwhelming. And so what can you do? Plant a garden and know your farmer. And so that has been a lifelong, since then, endeavor of mine.
Well, it sounds like this is kind of a segue into the idea of reskilling that you and I spoke of earlier. Tell us how you came up with that concept and that word and how your life is woven into that.
Well, Backyard Revolution began as an attempt to offer the skills and wisdom of our ancestors to people who were interested in learning more about these traditions and integrating them into their own lives. And the practical aspects of our history is so often just sort of ignored. We know the story of our nation, of course, and quite a sordid one it is, if you go back to, you know, how we claimed this land. But yet, I had a founding father that, I mean, not one of the founding fathers, but, you know, I had an ancestor that came over from Scotland 7 generations ago, and he was 16 years old, and he was a drummer boy at Bunker Hill, and that's very romantic to me. You know, he left his homeland forever in search of a dream and never to return. And so what a commitment that was, and how many people made that commitment. But yet, you know, the way that we took this land, and I feel that there is a lot there that has never been healed or dealt with. And so those are some themes that are interesting to me, especially since the indigenous capabilities were so superhuman in terms of living in harmony with the earth, leaving no trace, and yet being sustained perfectly, never in need. So exploring those themes, as well as just the rugged strength of our colonial ancestors, really has inspired me, and creating a forum for the transmission of that knowledge became a big intent. And so that's what we've done. We offer live events. We've done many events at Monticello, where I actually work as a historical interpreter as well. And we're going to have our fourth one there this year, It's the fourth or fifth one at the Heritage Harvest Fest, which will be in September at Monticello in Charlottesville, Virginia. We've done them at county fairs. We also are going to be doing some special programming with a week-long series that will be offered this summer in homesteading, and just sort of homesteading 101 for people who want to figure out how to sustain without depending on electricity and modern conveniences.
Give me an example. I'm kind of lost here. You're talking about true independence and self-sufficiency, and drawing on the skill and wisdoms of our ancestors to help deal with the challenges we're currently facing in this nation. Give me a good concrete example of how that works.
Well, petroleum dependency is a major concern.
It is.
And we won't go into why we are petroleum dependent, because
a whole nother subject.
And then we'd get into conspiracy theories. But if you don't have to drive to the grocery store to get your food, then you are not being dependent on petroleum. If you're able to walk out to your chicken coop and get your eggs, then you are not having to ingest, you know, if you live out in the country as we do, and unless we drive an hour, our available options in terms of food is from a grocery store that evidently there are no options. Everything is factory farmed and filled with antibiotics and hormones and all that sort of thing. And that is a big concern. I mean, why we are filling ourselves with toxins and poisons and then wonder why everybody is getting cancer. You know, it's so when you have control over your own food supply, you know what's going into your body and your family's body. And that's of course just the food, but when you get and of course the agricultural aspect, but when you get into traditional hunting, when you get into open hearth cooking, open fire cooking, woodworking, of course, spinning, animal husbandry, you know, raising sheep, raising animals, and knowing how to do it in a way that leaves the land better than it was before they got there. Early American construction. My husband builds log cabins from existing structures and then adds green elements to them. But, you know, they create and build in a way that was familiar to our ancestors. And a lot of the, you know, lime brick building, things that are extremely efficient when it comes to energy saving, and yet we've sort of lost touch with all of these. You know, we spend so much energy trying to reinvent the wheel, and so there are a lot of answers to these challenges that we're facing just within our own practical history. Medicinal plant identification, edible plants, wildcrafting, these sorts of things are the traditional archery, trapping animals,
and so many of these
candle making, soap making.
These things have just been lost as to how to do them. Mm-hmm. I knew someone who went to a Native American reservation and taught them how to make flint points and taught them how to make pottery again. This is just back in the 70s, yeah, but we lose these things.
Exactly, because these skills and these traditions were passed down orally. Mm-hmm. And
by experience.
By rote, exactly. And it's like we were talking about earlier, the 20,000 hour rule. Once you've done something a number of times, you know, you get good at it. And so when children at the knee are raised to see their mother sewing or to see their father's building or planting that garden or working with those animals, then tanning a hide, these things need to be actively, consciously preserved, this knowledge.
It's true. I don't know how long radio's been around. A historian might, but you have a radio show also.
Yes, we investigate all of these themes, and there's a great station in Charlottesville, Virginia, 106.1 The Corner, and the program director, who's also the morning host, is a dear friend, Brad Savage, who it's been almost 3 years now. We've been on with him every other Friday morning, exploring these themes and branching out into modern issues today.
Mm-hmm. Like the petroleum issue.
Yes, but petroleum dependency was a recent theme that we've interviewed a lot of guests mm-hmm. about.
Have you done anything about the uranium mining issue?
That has been in the queue. That is so serious. I hope that we as Virginians can organize ourselves and all over the world. I mean, when you're looking at these, once again, it's the same old story. You know, the few benefit while the earth and the 99% have to pay the price. So we've got to be able to organize better and really stop these things before the wheels start to turn too fast.
Well, you're such a working woman, and I wanted to touch just a little bit on how you weave together all of these parts of your life. You have your radio and your recording business and your farm, and you're raising a child. How does it all fit together? What is your,
in
your
a word,
spiritual thing about it? Yeah.
In a word, well, now that you've said spiritual, before you said spiritual, the word would have been coffee. But now that you've said spiritual, that's exactly it. I feel that, you know, we are here for a short time. You know, I believe we've been here before. Hopefully maybe not be here again. We'll see if that works out. But I meditate a lot on achieving my highest potential in this lifetime through joy. And I just started teaching dance. I just started learning really that I was a dancer just a few years ago. And I'm learning new languages and I play a number of instruments and everything. I just find so many things are so exciting, and I'm not perfect at any of them, but I don't care. I don't let that stop me. I just feel that there is so much that it's our responsibility, as Ben Franklin said, to let our light shine. You know, what is a sundial in the shade? And so I am just eager to share my enthusiasm. And when I find something that makes me happy and brings joy, I want to share that with people. And so that's what I do.
Yeah. Oh, that works. Yeah. So the place of music in your life, do you just walk around singing? Write a song? Does a song come to you? Do you sit down and say, I need to write a song about this?
No, it's very much the muse decides to tap my shoulder, but it's she's always, always welcome. And I try to, when I look around the world and see where we could improve as a society, the way that channels itself for me is through creative expression. And so I try to, these songs that we recorded here today, you can hear that there's a lot of hope in them, but there's also the identification of some bumps that we are moving over collectively. And so it's just a very cathartic experience for me, and I feel blessed that I've been able to be a songwriter and record CDs and share that music. I'm very, very grateful for that.
Well, you've done us a great favor by recording a song that has never been recorded before, and it was written in pencil on a piece of paper. It's called Next to Days.
Monsanto went totally organic and gave away all their seeds for free. This world would take on a brighter shade, a deeper, greater meaning, that what is right will be eventually in the palms of higher hands. Well, I know there's a plan, still it's hard to imagine this life as it could be. We can turn this around if we plant common ground. Every dream that we dream is cultivating next today. Schools all ran on clean green energy. If we were a country, that would break a sweat to pay our debts, providing for ourselves the way it used to be. In the palms of higher hands, well, I know there's a plan, yet it's hard to imagine this life as it could be. We can turn this around if we plant common ground. Every dream that we dream is cultivating next today's. Navigating this boisterous sea of liberty, oh, 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 oh. It's not easy to stay in positivity. When our politicians have to wear their donors on their suits like race car drivers do. This world of corporate lies we televise will fail to thrive in lightning generations for eternity. In the palms of higher hands, well, I know there's a plan. It's our job to imagine this life as it will be. We can turn this around if we plant common ground. Every vision we see, every thought we believe, every word that we pray, every seed that we save, every dream that we dream is cultivating next today.
Lightly on the Ground Radio, and our guest today in the live room is Adrienne Young Ramsey, and she wrote and performed that song. That was the first time, and it's recorded right here.
Finished this morning.
A fresh song, fresh mm-hmm, local. Mm-hmm. So besides these enterprises that you have a job at Monticello, which kind of ties in because it's Monticello has so many historical things going on. So how does that work with you?
Well, I'm very part-time because I full-time am raising our child, Elijah, and I'm so grateful that I'm able to do so. But being a historical interpreter there has just filled me with so much. I mean, it is a bastion of inspiration because hundreds of thousands of people go there every year to learn about the life of this one man and, of course, the history that he was a part of. And to me, that is such a hopeful scenario, the fact that this is one life can make so much of a difference two centuries after it's gone. And of course, that the whole Thomas Jefferson Foundation exists and is wholly committed to sharing that message of liberty. And it's just a wonderful place if you ever have a chance to go there. But I am part-time. I mean, if mm-hmm. you ever want to, I'm talking to the audience.
Right. Of course. Well, yeah, I've been there.
Monticello.org. Mm-hmm. But I'm very part-time, so I consider that it's a difficult place to call work.
Mm-hmm. I bet.
It's too much fun.
I bet, mm-hmm. yeah. And then there's the Heritage Harvest Festival that you participate in, too. So what do you do with the Backyard Revolution when you go to Monticello?
Well,
for the Heritage Harvest Festival.
Well, of course, they co-produce that with Southern Exposure Seed Exchange. And, Southern Exposure is such a special, special company. Of course, they're in Louisa. They are founded on a commune and preserving our seed heritage. So that is we are just so honored to work with them because we feel that that very endeavor is one of the most important things we could be doing. In fact, the third record we had out called Room to Grow in 2007, we had a joint fund with the American Community Garden Association that was a non-genetically modified seed education fund to try to bring people here in the United States an awareness of what GMOs are and, of course, why we're the only civilized country in the world that will not allow labeling of GM ingredients. And so I think there are some big changes about to occur on that front. But certainly Southern Exposure is a big player in the preservation of these precious pearls.
That's one of the things that is so heartening, that the work that we're doing, getting the word out and repeating it and repeating it, it's actually making change.
It is making change. And so we're very, very grateful to be invited to participate at the Heritage Harvest Fest, which is a celebration of all of the agrarian heritage of Central Virginia. But the bigger picture is just all of it, because this is our earth, and this is what our creator, whomever and whatever you deem that to be. I mean, you can't improve on a seed and sun and soil and time and water. It's a perfect miracle. And so we really it's so easy to forget the miracle. And so it's nice to have the opportunity to celebrate it and create ritual around it. And it's just great to be a part of that experience.
That's the Heritage Harvest Festival coming up every September.
And it's heritageharvestfestival.org if you'd like to learn more.
To participate in the discussion, please email your thoughts to sunny@wrir.org. Lightly on the Ground Radio is a Sunny Garden production for Richmond Independent Radio, broadcast on Richmond Independent Radio, WRIR LP FM 97.3 and wrir.org. I'm grateful to all the volunteers at Richmond Independent Radio and to our community of donors and underwriters who bought us all this equipment for making radio. Befriend us on Facebook by joining the Lightly on the Ground Radio group. Oh, do you have Facebook pages too, Adrienne?
We do. We have a Backyard Revolution, and we'd love for you to come and like us and visit us. And also feel free to go to our website, backyardrevolution.com. Or if you'd like to hear more music, adrienneyoung.com.
All right. That's great.
Thank you so much, Sunny.
I've really enjoyed it. Thank you.
Pleasure.
So much. Yeah. I hope you'll join us again on the radio. Until then, walk in the light and live lightly on the ground. Thank you for listening.
Thomas Jefferson did not waste time. He was up before the dawn, caressed the new sky like a weather vane. His solution reflected winds of change and revolution. What can we do? We all know it's time for what has been to start anew. Truth forever, so why should we delay? Take the slate and wipe it clean, fill it with the hopes and dreams, visions of what's right and what is real. Turn the soil with the plow, plant seeds of change and bless this ground on which we were so fortunate to land. Citizens, raise your voices. Every dollar, every vote reflects our choices. What can we do? We all know it's time for what has been to start on. hide the truth forever. So why should we delay? Take the slate and wipe it clean. Fill it with the hopes and dreams, visions of what's right and what is real. Turn the soil with the plow, plant seeds of change and bless this ground on which we were so fortunate to land. When the time has come, we gonna have to get a little dirty to wash off this big lie that we don't have what it takes to change our lives. Every possibility is here within our minds. It's the faith within our feelings gives them life. And dreams, visions of what's right and what is real. I turn our faces to the wind, let go the shore and thus begin a journey to a not so distant land.
Time has come, we must stand.